I'd like to just read one verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it's on page 1359. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 8, it's on page 1359. And we're going to read the last few verses of chapter 8, from verse 38. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You would be aware there's much uncertainty in the world today. Over the past 18 months, we've all witnessed how much uncertainty there is in this country, but also throughout the whole world. Promises broken. Plans drawn up by governments in this country, but also throughout the whole world. Plans drawn up, dates given out, and as soon as the date appears on the calendar in the morning, the date they say maybe they will do something, lift something, the promise is broken. I want to speak tonight about certainty. And certainty that is offered to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much uncertainty, but the gospel is a message of certainties. It's a message of hope, a message of wonderful, wonderful grace and love. And it's a message come from God. It's not the preacher's message. There are many, many preachers probably standing up in churches, meeting rooms, maybe even on the streets throughout the world today. And they are bringing a message to mankind. They're bringing a message to men, women and children. It's not their message, it's God's message. And this is what we are presenting tonight. It's God's message. The gospel is God's message from heaven to you. The wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message of Jesus. Yes, I want to speak of Jesus. He's not spoken of in the world today enough. He's ignored. Many people ignore what Jesus has done. They don't think it's relevant. They don't think it's important. The wonderful message of the gospel, the wonderful message of the gospel brings hope, brings certainty in an uncertain world. And it's more relevant now than it ever has been. We see how the whole world is crumbling before our very eyes. The whole governments are crumbling. Things are falling apart. But you know what remains true throughout everything? It's the gospel. It's the gospel story. The story of Jesus Christ. The story of God's Son, Jesus, who came into the world. The Bible says, what did he come here to do? In Timothy, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Who are sinners? Well, I'm a sinner. We've all sinned, the Bible says. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We look at Jesus. He was not a sinner. He was holy. He was righteous. He was God's Son. Without sin. Without sin. And so we see in the scriptures the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, a saviour, who came into the world to save sinners. The just one, the Bible says, he was the just one who came to save the unjust. It says that in one of the epistles as well. The just one died for the unjust, that he might bring them to God. And that's why Jesus came into the world. He came to bring you to God. Why? Because we've fallen short of the glory of God. Now you may say to me, what is the glory of God? Can you explain it? Look at Jesus. A man who was without sin. A man who was holy and righteous. We know he was holy and righteous. The Bible tells us. We see many stories in the Gospels, don't we? When Jesus was walking from town to town, from city to city, from village to village, from house to house, and he showed the love of God to everyone. Showed the grace and the love and the mercy of God to everyone. Jesus, without sin. He is without sin. And before he started preaching and announcing the good news of the gospel, it tells us, at the age of 12 years old, he was in the temple. And his parents, they thought they'd lost him because he was in the temple and they were somewhere else. And they thought they'd lost him. They were worried. And Jesus was teaching the scribes and the Pharisees, those who thought they knew the law, they thought they knew the Bible, they thought they knew the scriptures. And they said, we've never heard a man speak like this before, or a boy speak like this before. We've never heard it. And he was there. And he said, I'm doing my Father's business, even at the age of 12. And then at the age of 33, began his public ministry, and the Bible tells us that he was baptized by John the Baptist. And as he was baptized, a light descended on him from the heavens, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I found my delight. Yes, God found full delight in Jesus, a man who was without sin. You could not find sin in Jesus. In the desert, Satan came and tempted Jesus. Jesus at that time, when he was in the desert, he hadn't eaten. He was fasting. And it tells us that Satan came to him and he tried to tempt him with bread. And he tried to say, if you are the Son of God, you can turn this stone into bread. And you can have food to sustain you. Because he was hungry. But he overcame Satan's temptations. Jesus was holy. He was righteous. Without sin. There was no sin in Jesus. And I want to really bring that across to you tonight. This is the real hope we have in the gospel. Because we're talking about a man, yes, a man, a real man. But he was without sin. A man who was holy, righteous, perfect. Hard to think about. Because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. You look at Jesus, if I look at myself, I find myself falling short. Lies. Not telling the truth. And, you know, all sorts of things. We find ourselves falling short. Yet Jesus was... He could stand up and he could say to the crowds when he was preaching, I am all that I say unto you. I'm everything. What you see is what I am. I'm holy, I'm true, I'm righteous. And this is this man we're speaking of in the gospel. A true saviour without sin. A saviour who can bring you certainty. Certainty of forgiveness of your sins. Peace with God. A hope. A real living hope. Jesus, who knew no sin. He was made sin for us. That's why God sent Jesus into the world, to redeem us from our sins, to bring us into the presence of God. Yes, we cannot enter the presence of God in our sins. Adam and Eve, they sinned in the Garden of Eden. One sin, and they were out of the Garden of Eden. That's just it. One sin, and they were out. Sometimes at school, I remember the teachers saying, three strikes, and then you're out. They only had one, and they lost it, and they were out. They were out. Out of the Garden of Eden. Out of God's presence. God had fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked with them in the cool of the day. What a wonderful close relationship Adam and Eve had with God. But when sin came in, they were out. Not because God didn't love them. God did love them. But he is holy. He is righteous. He cannot have sin in his presence. And so one sin separates us from God. And one sin, that's all it takes. Even if it's a lie. You might think a lie is not as bad as something else. We often look over the shoulder at a neighbour or someone over in the street and think, well, they're far worse than I am. They're terrible people. I'm not as bad as that. I'm a good person. But we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. That's how you can, if you want to know what the glory of God is, it's Jesus. He's the glory of God. How do we live up to that? Well, we can't. There's nothing we can do. The gospel is preached because Jesus has done everything. There's nothing I can do to save myself. There's nothing I can do to earn my way to heaven. If I worked for charities week after week, tried to earn my way to heaven, nothing would be good enough. There's nothing that would be good enough. I can't do that. Why? The scripture says, our good deeds, our righteousnesses are like filthy rags in the sight of God. And so, that's why Jesus came, to save us, to bring us to God. The just one died for the unjust, to bring us to God. And so Jesus, yes, he went about healing the sick. He went about healing the blind, giving them sight, feeding those that were hungry. And you know, the wonderful news of the gospel is that we have a Saviour who can do all these things. Yes, he was the marked out Son of God in power. We know he had the power to do these wonderful things. But the way by we're saved is not by the works that Jesus did. It's by the work he did at the cross. Yes, he did many marvellous things. Many marvellous things. As I went through a few examples. Many wonderful things. Some people had died and he rose them up from the dead. Lazarus. One of Jairus' daughter, risen from the... She died. Rosa from the dead. Many wonderful things Jesus did. But it is the work at the cross that saves us. That is the certainty we have. And yes, he's the marked out Son of God in power. In power. Yes, Jesus is a Saviour. A man of power. Son of God. Man of power. Who came into this world to save us. To save us, to give us hope, to redeem us, to save us from our sins, to offer forgiveness. And it's available to you at the cross. Jesus died at the cross. That's where he was going. He did many marvellous things, as I said, but it was the cross. He had his eyes fixed steadfastly, it says in the scriptures, to go to Jerusalem. It was at Jerusalem. It was just outside Jerusalem, at a place called Golgotha, where Jesus died on a cross. He laid down his life for you and for me. He shed his precious blood for you and for me. And the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, washes our sins away, so God can see them no more. It tells us that in the Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 9 or Hebrews 8, you will find it in that book. It says that God will remember our sins no more when we've come to Jesus and accepted him as our Lord and Saviour. Yes, Jesus, he went to the cross to shed his blood to die for us. And this was because God loves you. The wonderful and the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is the real gospel hope we have in Jesus. The fact that he went to the cross, he died for our sins and shed his precious blood. And by believing, by repenting of your sin, you can come into the certainty, the knowledge of knowing that the work that Jesus has done is certain, is able to save you, to redeem you, to bring you into a relationship with God, to bring you peace with God. Many people today are on the search for peace, I think. There is a world of unrest. In fact, I heard a story of there's two Christians that were sitting in a restaurant. One of them was a Christian preacher. He's a Christian preacher in America. And the waitress was serving them their lunch or dinner. And the Christian preacher asked a question to the waitress who was there serving them. He said to her, if you could ask God for anything, what would it be? And she said, I would ask for peace. I would ask for peace. And I think that sums up people all over the world today. They need peace. Not just peace in this world's sense, but real peace with God. How can we obtain that? How can we reach that point? We can only reach it by accepting that we've sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and we cry out to God in our sin and say, we've sinned, we've fallen short of your glory, and we repent of our sins, and we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. The gospel, very simply, is an invitation. An invitation from God. And God is sending out a message saying, please come. All is done. And you know, the gospel's been preached that you may come tonight to him. Come to Jesus. Accept him as your saviour. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can redeem you, who can save you, who can bring you into blessing of eternal life. Simply by calling upon him. That scripture, I think it's in Romans again, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Certainty, will be saved. And I read a scripture in about someone who was persuaded. This was the Apostle Paul. He was fully persuaded. In some translations it says fully persuaded, but in our translation, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This verse was very precious to me, I'd say, and I think the words are precious to many, and certainly the Apostle Paul, he found this was so precious that he was fully persuaded what God had done in Jesus. Yes, Jesus, who died for our sins, but not only died, he lives again. He's a Saviour who lives again. We had that in our hymn about the Lord Jesus being alive and arisen, and you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. We're not speaking about a Saviour who's still in the grave. We're speaking about a Saviour who lives. We're speaking about a Saviour who is living. And he's at the right hand of God. A Saviour who went into the tomb, but 3 days he rose again. And that's why the Apostle Paul, a man who was a sinner, a man who at first rejected the gospel message, rejected even Jesus. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Saviour, the Messiah. He didn't believe it. He went about persecuting Christians. He went about trying to basically wipe the gospel off the face of the earth. But a change took place in his life. On the Damascus Road, when he was going about his business one day, he was saved. He was saved by Jesus. Jesus came and spoke to him. And he realised that Jesus was the Saviour that God had promised. Even in the Old Testament, we see scriptures. We see in Isaiah prophecies that look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. When he was born into this world as a baby. When he was born into this world as a Saviour, as the Messiah. And how God was to provide a man who can provide salvation for mankind. Provide salvation for sinners. Yes. Right the way through Genesis even the beginning of Genesis. And when you go through the Old Testament books, you will find something of Jesus in every single page. Yes, you will. I can promise you that. That is the certainty of God. Providing a Saviour. It wasn't an afterthought. When men sinned, there wasn't some sort of... Everything wasn't lost. There was a plan of salvation, and it was in the Lord Jesus Christ, a certain Saviour, a Saviour who can bring certainty to your heart tonight, who can bring peace to your heart tonight, who can bring hope to your heart tonight by coming to Jesus. And yes, he died, but he lives, as I said, and that's why the Apostle Paul is fully persuaded that nothing in this world, nothing in life, nothing in the past, nothing in the future can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the gospel. Nothing can separate us from that relationship with Jesus. Once you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you're safe in his arms. Safe in the arms of Jesus. That's an old hymn, isn't it? But it's a hymn that rings true to the gospel. Because once you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're safe in his arms. You can't lose your salvation. Once you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're safe in his arms. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and I know them. And they follow me. And the Lord Jesus said, no one can pluck them out of my hand. No one can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, this is the certainty we have in Jesus. And it's the certainty you can have tonight, simply by calling upon him. Putting your faith and your trust in Jesus. He's a saviour who died for us, redeemed us to bring us to God. What a wonderful, wonderful hope. This is a hope the world cannot give you. This is a hope the world can never, ever give you. Why? Because there's only one way. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's why some people are, when we've in Worthing sometimes, when we've been down handing out tracts and speaking to people, there must be another way. That's the response sometimes people say. There must be another way. There can't just be this. The Bible is very clear. There's not another way. There's a way that seems right to a man, it says in Proverbs. There's a way that seems right to all of us. You might think doing good works, going to church every week, that might be a right way in your eyes. But the only way to obtain salvation, to obtain eternal life, to attain heaven, to attain peace with God, is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There isn't another answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's to God. No one can go to God except by coming to Jesus. And this is the hope that the Apostle Paul had. This is the real hope he had. I am persuaded. Persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that, you know, whatever came his way, he was fearless. Because he knew he had a Saviour who looked after him, who cared for him so much that he died on the cross to redeem us, to bring us into blessing. This is the certain hope that Jesus can give you tonight. May you call upon him. May you call upon him tonight in your seat. You don't have to stand up and walk down an aisle. You can just call to him in your seat. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever calls, so whoever will, you're willing to come to Jesus. Call upon him. Put your faith in him. Put your faith in Jesus. He's the one who can give you that certain hope of salvation, the hope that we're going to be in heaven where Jesus is. Yes, Jesus is in heaven. He's been ascended. He's in heaven now. He's living. That's why the gospel's preached, because he wants more to come into that enjoyment, that peace with God, that certainty that we've been speaking of. There was a thief on the cross that was being crucified next to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And the Lord Jesus also said in John's Gospel chapter 14 or 15, I believe it says there, the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you also may be. That's where Jesus is now. He's gone to prepare us a place in heaven. He's redeemed us. He's provided salvation. But he's gone to prepare us a place in heaven. I've gone to prepare your place, that where I am, that's where Jesus is, we may be. And that's why Jesus came into this world, to save us, to redeem us, to provide salvation, that our sins might be washed away. But now he's gone to prepare us a place where he is. We can go as well. We can go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus has taken our sins away on himself. Washed them away. And when God looks on us, when God looks on you, when you've called on Jesus and accepted him as your Lord and Saviour, when he looks on you, he doesn't see our sins anymore. He sees Jesus. He sees Christ. He sees Christ. That's who he sees. He doesn't see the sins that we've done or the sins that we are you know, going to do, because sometimes we do fall. Even as Christians, we fall down. But he's there to pick us up. He's there to show us the way. He's there to instruct us. He's there to teach us. He's there to help us through every single day until he comes again. Because there is a day. There is a day. And I believe it's very soon. There's a day coming when Jesus is coming to take every single person who's put their faith and trust in Jesus. He's coming to take you to be with himself. And that's his desire. He wants you to be where he is. You know, there's coming a day. A day of judgment, but there's coming a day when Jesus is coming back. And it's important to speak about the judgment. Maybe I can just speak a few minutes on that, then I will close. Because we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. God cannot have sin in his presence. So, in our sins, we do face hell, but that's why Jesus came. He came to redeem us from our sins, that we may not face hell. We may face life in heaven. We may face a hope of going to heaven to be with Jesus, so our sins can be washed away in his wonderful work at Calvary's cross. Yes, there is a coming a day of judgment, but if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you know, you don't face that judgment, because you put your faith in Jesus. And when that time comes, when we stand before the throne in heaven, in that day, when we're called to be in heaven, or before the judgment day, and if he sees our name written in the book of life, there's a book, the Lamb's book of life, those who have been saved, their names are written down in it. And if your name is in that book, if you are a person who's put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of your sin, your name will be in that book. It won't be erased, it will be in that book. And you will be able to enter heaven to be where Jesus is. That's the hope we have. The certainty. It's a complete certainty. The Apostle Paul, he had that certainty. Fully persuaded. There are many, many Christians in history who are willing to literally die because they had that faith. They had the faith in Jesus. They had the certainty, the knowledge of knowing that whatever happened, they would even face death and knew that they wouldn't be separated from the love of God. Martin Luther, he was one who was prepared. Said, oh, here I stand. Here I stand. Many others. There's many, many, many people in the scriptures. But there's many people in history as well. Even in the Tudor times, there's William Tyndale as well. There's many people who stood up and they were absolutely fearless. They stood up and they had the power of God with them in the face of death, and they didn't move from the left or the right. They kept going because they had that hope, that certainty in Jesus. That's something you can receive tonight by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That is the hope you can have. May you call upon Jesus tonight and be saved for his name's sake.
Amen.